This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. It may seem as though the Michigan primary is still weeks away. Rest assured, contenders in the Democratic presidential primary are sweating that shrinking window that remains to try to win you over. And if you happen to be Arab American, you may have noticed the senator from Vermont is picking up some love on social media and among key voters. Bernie Sanders, picking up steam on Twitter as Amu Bernie, has been advocating for his cause amongst Arab American voters with some effect. Ali Harb is with us today. He's a reporter for Middle East Eye, and he's been covering the Democratic field through the Iowa caucuses and beyond. Ali, welcome to Stateside.
Hello.
And Amr Azar is here, too. He's a comedian, writer, and law professor who recently published a really interesting essay that we're going to talk about today about why Bernie merits a look from Arab American voters. And we should say he is a national surrogate for Bernie Sanders 2020. Amr, thanks for making some time.
My pleasure.
Ali, I wanted to start with you. What were folks saying at the Iowa caucuses about Bernie? I understand that there were actually two mosques that were serving as official caucus sites.
Mm-hmm. In Des Moines, there were five mosques that were serving as caucus sites, and at the mosques, all of the caucus-goers were Arabs and Muslims. At the mosque that I was at, every single voter, I mean everyone, with the exception of two or three voters, went for Bernie Sanders, which was an overwhelming show of support. And when I spoke to caucus-goers, why Bernie Sanders? A theme that emerged was the justice aspect. This is a man who calls for justice, and Islam calls for universal values of justice, so we are backing him. But I've been covering this since 2016, and if you want to dissect the phenomenon of Arab Americans for Bernie, I think we should start with the fact that many young people are backing Bernie Sanders. That 18 to 35 demographic is overwhelmingly supportive of the senator. And Arab Americans are a young population in this country. So you see a draw towards his campaign from young Arab Americans who are more politically involved than the older Arab American generation. There is also foreign policy. There's also domestic policies, healthcare, student debt. But I think another factor is that Arab Americans have been a marginalized community in American politics. So they look at Bernie Sanders as an outsider and they sort of identify with that. And not to say that all Arab Americans support Bernie Sanders. The Arab American community is politically and religiously diverse. And there are activists and advocates who are Arab Americans supporting all kinds of candidates, some even supporting President Trump.
Right. Well, this certainly resonates. I mean, going back to 2016, Bernie Sanders was picking up interest from a lot of younger voters, African-American voters who'd heard what he'd had to say about Black Lives Matter. And if I'm remembering right, wasn't Bernie Sanders somebody who in Michigan was making a point of going out and meeting with Arab-American groups when Hillary Clinton's campaign was not?
Absolutely. I mean, he did two rallies in Dearborn, Michigan. He met with Arab American activists and advocates days before the primaries. He ran ads in Arabic. And that's something that the Bernie Sanders campaign is doing. It's meeting people where they are. It's speaking people's literal and political language. In Iowa, before caucus day, there were Bernie Sanders volunteers waiting outside the mosque to tell people to come on caucus for the senator.
Now that's drilling down, yeah.
Yeah, that's a strength that the Sanders campaign has. After the Nevada caucus, many Latinx advocates went on national television were saying, don't take our vote for granted, and Senator Sanders did not. He came into our communities and he spoke to us. And I think the senator's doing the same thing with the Arab American community.
Right.
The Arab American community is very diverse. We should be careful not to conflate the terms Arab and Muslim. So half of the Arab American community in America is Christian. In fact, in Michigan, perhaps half of them as well are Christian. We don't know for sure because we don't have all these numbers. But the largest Arab American community, the Chaldean, Iraqi, Roman Catholic community, is Christian. We have huge amounts of Lebanese, Palestinian, and Syrian Christians here. And they have the same sort of political alignments for the most part, especially when it comes to foreign policy and social issues, as their Arab Muslim counterparts. And remember, most Muslims in America are not Arab. The largest Muslim population in America is the African American Muslim population. So sometimes we talk about these two communities because there is a lot of similarities, but we have to be careful not to completely conflate the terms Arab and Muslim.
Amar, you wrote an essay that appeared last weekend in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, no mm-hmm. less, mm-hmm. explaining why Arab American voters, in your view, need to give Bernie Sanders a look. First, I have to ask, did you pitch to them or did they approach you?
They approached me.
Well, can you make a short version of the case that you laid out in the essay?
Well, I'm Palestinian, so Israelis approach me all the time. But sometimes nicely, sometimes not so nicely. But look, my essay was not about necessarily about why Arab Americans should give Bernie Sanders a second look. We're already squarely with the senator for the most part. My essay was more about explaining to the world why Arab Americans are supporting Bernie Sanders. So in 2016, Dearborn overwhelmingly went for Bernie Sanders, especially the Arab-heavy precincts of East Dearborn. They went something like 3-1 for Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton. Now, that happened because of a lot of what Ali was saying. That campaign brought people into our community. They brought field directors, political directors in, finding organizers. I was one of those people. I eventually became a surrogate for the campaign. So they spoke to us, okay? That's the first step of touching any marginalized community.
Is showing up.
Of course, and especially a community like ours, which has been seen sort of traditionally as toxic to any political campaign. Now we are being seen as an asset. Remember, in 2000, Hillary Clinton, when she was running for Senate in New York, took donations from Arab Americans. She got criticized for it. Instead of standing up for those people, she returned the donations. In 2008, of course, Barack Obama was accused of being a Muslim. Well, still till today, he's accused of being a Muslim, as if that sort of thing is disqualifying to become president of the United States. And even he could never bring himself to say, you know, hey, I'm not Muslim, but so what if I were? And now, though, we see, and it really started in 2016 with Bernie Sanders, that we can be a real political asset to any campaign. At the same time, though, we're very loyal. And the Bernie Sanders campaign, as Ali said, aligns with our values, but also they showed up. But when we won Michigan for Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders won Michigan in a very close election in 2016, we took credit for it because, you know, we're Arabs. We like to take credit for everything. And so we invented zero, by the way. I don't know if you know that. A lot of other
things.
I do.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Also math.
Math, algebra, coffee, alcohol, deodorant.
All the good stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So in any case, we showed up in that campaign for Bernie Sanders and won him Michigan. And the first thing that happened the next day, I even got calls from NPR the next day saying to me, can you explain to us how this Arab American community so squarely and strongly came out for the Jewish candidate? I still get asked these questions today. And of course, that question is so rife. There's so much racism in that one question, okay? First of all, we're not born anti-Semitic. We're not genetically predisposed to be anti-Semitic. You know, and I ask these reporters, why are you asking me that question? They say, well, you guys have been fighting over there for hundreds of years. I said, well, that's not true. That's not true either. You know, so I mean, we deal with these misconceptions all the time. So a point of my essay there was to say, look, we don't look at Bernie Sanders' Jewishness and say to ourselves, oh, we have to get over that before we support him. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We look at Bernie Sanders' Jewishness as sort of an asset, sort of something that connects us to him more. He's the child of immigrants. We're all the child of immigrants if we're not immigrants ourselves. Also, being a minority, going through the experiences he talked about growing up in New York City, those are some similar experiences that we're going through in this country today. And so he talks about how his Jewishness brings him to notions of empathy and justice and fighting for the weakest among us. And we feel the same way, whether it's about our faith or even our culture. You know, I said in that article as well, when Bernie Sanders' slogan is not me, us, and he talks about fighting for the weakest among us, and he talks about standing up for somebody you don't know and saying we're all in this together, that's stuff that me and Ali and every Arab American have been hearing from their parents forever. It's nothing new.
We've acknowledged there's a generational thing here. The traditional narrative of Arab American voters in the United States, as well as that of a lot of older Jewish voters, is that they lean Republican and that generationally Bernie Sanders might be a tough sell for them if they consider him not necessarily a friend of Wall Street, if they're thinking about pocketbook issues, if they're comfortable with their health plans, and Bernie Sanders is a candidate who's promising to shake things up.
Well, I would push back on that a little bit. I don't think that pattern holds as strongly in our community. I can't speak for other communities, but I can't say that that pattern holds. We have a lot of sort of generational overlap in the support for Bernie Sanders. A lot of that comes from the values that he expresses. A lot of it comes from his views on foreign policy, especially when it comes to stopping aid to the Saudi war on Yemen, or his views, his really revolutionary views, or his rhetoric on the Palestinian-Israeli question. And so these things kind of bring everybody to the table in our community. And so, yeah, of course, we have some Trump supporters, we have some Republicans. But I don't see, for instance, like what we might see in some other communities, the, let's say, intra-Democratic Party generational thing, where you have seen other communities, older voters going to more traditional candidates like Joe Biden.
Older African-American voters, he tends to poll well with them.
Right, but Bernie does very well with young Black voters. In our community, I don't see that. I don't see a Biden push in our community. I don't see a Buttigieg push or Klobuchar push. You know, the only thing you're seeing a little bit is a Bloomberg push because of all the advertising that's going on. But really, I think it overlaps generations when it comes to Bernie support in our community.
Ali Harb, can I bring you to that question? Do you see any of the other candidates making an effort?
I would have to give enormous credit to the Warren campaign and the way they reached out to Arab Americans, at least in Iowa. When I was in Iowa, a lot of folks told me that Warren personally met with some Arab American activists and she won their support. Also here in D.C., where I am based, many Arab American advocates and human rights advocates who are Arab Americans have come out in support of Warren. But I would say that in the Arab American community or amongst Arab American voters, the divide is not generational as much as it is a status one. It's by income. If you make over a certain number, if you are assimilated to the point where your Arabness is more of a heritage than an identity, you tend to go for more centrist or conservative candidates. But as far as the campaigns making a push, I think every candidate wants to win as many votes as possible. So everyone wants to bring in voters, if they're Arab American or not. But that concerted effort, I haven't seen much outside of the Bernie campaign, which has done phenomenally, and to a lesser degree, the Elizabeth Warren campaign.
This month, Bernie Sanders got an endorsement from MGH PAC, which is the biggest Muslim American political action committee in the U.S. Ali, can you remind us what kind of issues MGH tends to be most active on?
I spoke to the CEO of MGH a couple of days ago, the day that they made the announcement, and I asked that exact question. What are the priorities that you based your endorsement on? And he said the priorities of every American in terms of healthcare, education, also foreign policy that prioritizes human rights and justice. And it's a sort of simple answer in that Muslim Americans are not, you know, are not aliens. They want what every other American wants.
You know, there is one question that I think a lot of people who are undecided and looking at the campaign still have on their minds is that maybe they like what Bernie Sanders has to offer and what he's saying, but they've been hearing people on the center and on the right talk about the fact that, well, he can say all those things, but when he gets into office, can they do them? Amer Zard, is there anything to suggest that even just 4 years with Bernie Sanders could completely turn things around on the issues that he's making these huge points on?
Okay, so this is where I put on my surrogate hat and I advocate for the campaign.
Right. Well, just what do you think? I mean, well, can he do the things he says he will do?
Look, we know that with the signature issue of Medicare for All, a study just came out from Yale that said implementation of Medicare for All, eliminating private insurance, eliminating all the administrative costs that go along with that, and fixing prices in a way that makes sense, would save the American system $468 billion a year and save 68,000 lives. That came out of Yale. And so not only will Medicare for All not cost more than what we're doing now, it'll cost less. But to us, and what we say in the campaign all the time, this is the issue of priorities. When the other sides are out there advocating, when they're out there advocating for endless war or tax cuts to billionaires, nobody is asking them how they're going to pay for it. And all of a sudden, we come forward with all these social service programs, and they start asking us how we're going to pay for it. It's a priorities question. Of course, we can do it if we want to. It's the same ideas that FDR had, and he was so popular, they had to amend the Constitution so that he couldn't get elected president for the rest of his life.
Even putting aside the money issues, I mean, the Foreign Service has gone through some radical changes in the past 3 years. I mean, can Bernie Sanders do an entire 180 on the things that Donald Trump has put into play? Is it realistic for him to promise that to voters?
Well, especially when it comes to foreign policy and foreign service, the president actually doesn't need to go to Congress for a lot of that stuff. Remember, the president, as we saw with the whole Ukraine thing, the president sets foreign policy basically on his or her own. And so that's why the issues that put us behind Bernie, especially when it comes to Palestine and Yemen, are so critical to us because we know how much effect a president by himself can have on those issues. But I also believe when it comes to the domestic issues of Medicare for All and these other things, look, winning the presidency is a big amount of political capital to take down to Capitol Hill and say, hey, my signature issue was Medicare for All and I won. So maybe some of you should get in line. And Bernie has said also, if there's senators out there that are going to oppose him, he'll go down to their states and he'll campaign for their popular. Look, Medicare for All is a popular program. Medicare, the notion that people don't believe in it is simply not true. And we are out there saying people shouldn't go bankrupt because they get sick and they shouldn't die because they're poor. And guess what? Most Americans agree with that.
Ali Harb, as the days tick off before the Michigan primary, Bernie Sanders obviously has a lot of other hurdles to get through. What primaries on Super Tuesday are you going to be paying most attention to?
I would say Virginia is going to be big because there's a large Arab American community in Northern Virginia. California, the Arab vote could make a difference in California.
Arab Americans are also very heavily involved in politics in Texas and California. And those are the two most delegate-rich states on Super Tuesday. So in elections that we expect might be close, we have a big hand in pushing Bernie Sanders or any other candidate over the edge. Let me say one more thing. The sort of minority journalism that Ali is doing is wildly important in our community. You know, he is telling our story, and there really aren't people out there doing that kind of thing. So it's very important and beneficial to us that he's out there doing that and giving our narrative to the American public.
I'll just say the sort of journalism he's doing is very important for all of those same reasons.
Agreed.
Ali Harp is a reporter for Middle East Eye. You can read his work online and follow him on Twitter. And Amr Zahr is a comedian, writer, and law professor. And he is also a surrogate for Bernie Sanders 2020. Guys, thank you both for being here. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you
for having us.